I want you to remember that song tonight as I preach the message. It's almost like Cindy called me and said, "Hey, what are you preaching on tonight?" And I told her exactly what it was, and then she chose that song. And that did not happen, except for the Holy Spirit did it. But that song is exactly the core of what I'm speaking on tonight. Turn with me, please, to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. I would like to begin reading in verse 22. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. Stan, do you know if your wife lost her keys? These are they. Okay. Can I just throw them here in the front chair? You may wonder why I would not just keep them on, but I know they're there and it bothers me that they're here. I don't know why, but it does. Oh, good shot. So there they are, okay? All right, Matthew 14. Is there anything else under there I need to clear out? Okay. I didn't think so. I'm sorry, but that's just the way I am. Those have been there since Wednesday night, and it drove me crazy this morning. I thought about them 6 or 7 times while I was preaching this morning. Thought about those keys being there, so now I don't have to think about them. Okay. You say, "You're weird." I know. Deal with it. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, did you catch that? He walked on the water. Wow. Anybody ever done that? Peter did it. But look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I want you to focus back with me at verse 30. And notice the little phrase that I emphasized as I was reading the scripture. In the middle part of the verse, it says, and beginning to sink. I want to speak to you tonight on that subject, beginning to sink. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for your blessing, for your direction, for your leading in our lives. Lord, we thank you that we have a Bible. And Lord, we're thankful that we have the Holy Spirit to teach us the Bible. And Lord, I pray that you will bless tonight. May the Holy Spirit of God give instruction to our hearts as we look at this little lesson from the life of Peter. And Lord, I pray that you will just guide and direct as I preach. I need you to help me tonight. And Lord, I know what is on my heart to say, but Lord, I need you to help me as I say it, that the point will go clearly across, that Lord, you might bless it to our hearts and keep us all close to you and realizing that we need you every hour of every day. Father, just give us, I pray, a wonderful time around the table of the Word of God tonight. And Lord, I pray that when we leave here, that we will be able to take this with us and be able to apply it and use it so that we'll be better servants for you. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for all you do for us. Now bless us richly tonight for your name's sake. And amen. I want to speak to you tonight. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. I've preached from this passage before, but I was reading it again this week, and I saw this little statement here in verse 30, and so I stopped to think about it for a little while, and I want to speak to you on this subject tonight, beginning to think. I'm sure that all of us, and I don't want you to do this on purpose, I don't want you to stop and think about this, because I want you to stay with me and think with me tonight about the message. But I'm sure that as we sit here tonight, each and every one of us can think of somebody that we know who professes Christ as their personal Savior, who has made a spiritual wreck and a spiritual disaster out of the Christian life. I'm sure that all of us could sit here and say, oh yeah, I remember so-and-so. They used to be in the choir. They used to be in the Soul Winners Club. They used to be in the bus ministry. Oh yeah, I remember them. They used to stand up here and sing special music. All of us can think of somebody that we know who has sunk into the depths of spiritual sin, have gotten away from God. I don't want you to think about that tonight. Instead of preaching on that, I want to take this little phrase. That's a sad scenario. Anytime anybody goes away from God, plunges in head first into sin, ruins and destroys their life, ruins and destroys their family. I mean, we're all heartbroken by that. That grieves every one of us when we hear about that happening. I don't want to preach about that tonight. What I want to preach tonight on is this. I want to talk about how to keep from getting over there. I want to speak to you tonight on how to keep from getting over there. You say, well, that'll never happen to me, praise God. I'll tell you what, you better be careful. Let he that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. And you better be careful sitting here puffing your chest out and saying, oh, I'll never backslide on God. I'll never go away from the Lord. Why? I'll never destroy my testimony. Be careful, Christian. I dare say that person that popped into your mind a moment ago when I was talking about this, I just about will guarantee you that that person at one time sat where you're sitting right now and declared, I will never disgrace the name of Christ. I will never go away from the Lord. So you be careful about saying a statement like that. You say, well, Pastor, how you gonna prevent this from happening? Folks, listen, I wish with every fiber of my being that I could prevent this from happening. But I'm powerless. I can pray. And I can continue to preach and continue to teach, and thank God there are people that are listening and they're still growing and they're still with us and they're still faithful. Thank the Lord for that. And I'm just going to pray that you'll continue listening and continue reading your Bible and continue walking with God and continue to realize that you need the Lord every day. And if you'll do that, then you will not sink into the storm and disappear one of these days. I tell you, it grieves my soul, the number of people that come through the front door and then go out the back door. That grieves my soul. As a pastor, that is the thing that hurts me more than anything else, is the fact that so many people come through the door. And folks, listen, I will see folks out in the community. I'll see them in restaurants. I'll see them at the mall. I'll see them at the gas station. I'll see folks out that used to come to church here. I'll see them that used to be faithful here and used to sing in the choir, and they used to work on the bus ministry, and they used to sing in the special groups, and they used to do this. There used to be. And now, there's nothing there. That grieves me so much as a pastor. There are so many. I'll say, well, we've been missing you. Are you going to church anywhere? Well, no, Pastor, we'll be back. We'll be back. I'm still waiting on a bunch of them to come back. It grieves my soul as a pastor to see that. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to look at the phrase here, and beginning to sink. You know, old Peter, he was doing pretty good, wasn't he? Man, he was the only one of the disciples. They're all in the boat. And he's the only one when it was revealed that Jesus was the one walking on the water. Peter was the only one that spoke up and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come. And the Lord said, come. And over the side of that boat, Peter went. And when he did, he walked on the water. He was the only one of the 12. He was doing pretty good, wasn't he? He was doing real good. But then it says in verse 30, and beginning to sink. I want to speak tonight to every person who has ears to hear what I'm saying. And I basically want to speak to you tonight as an admonition and a warning for you that you will not sink. But I also want you to understand that every person sitting in this room, from the guy standing up here preaching, to the guy sitting on this platform, to the guys that are here with deacon in front of their name or behind their name, to the people that are here with Sunday school teacher attached to their name, to the people that are here with charter member attached to their name, it doesn't matter what your title is or what your designation is, I want to serve notice on you that every single one of us has the potential to go back on the Lord. That's right. You say, well, it never happened to me. Oh, I hope you're right. But I would not be so confident if I were you. There's a devil after you. There is a devil that's out to knock you down. You say, you're saying the Lord can't keep me? Oh, my friend, we're not talking about that at all. We're not talking about that at all. When you get saved, God gives you eternal life. And if it's eternal, it's eternal. And there's not a thing in the world you're going to do to change that. I'm talking about you staying faithful and doing something for God with your life. I'm talking about you as a Christian walking with God and continuing to walk with God right up to the very end of your life or until Jesus comes. And I think that what we need to understand is that Peter is a classic picture of so many of us. We all know that out of all of the disciples, Peter best pictures and represents us. We all know that. Peter is, we can read his life and we can find so many characteristics about him that identify with each one of us. And Peter is such a classic example of all of us. And what I want to do tonight is I want to say that Peter represents us. He pictures us. And I want to show you a couple of things here that hopefully will stop anybody that's here tonight who is beginning to sink. Anyone who is beginning to sink. Beginning to walk away from the Lord. Now, I want you to look at just a few thoughts with me tonight. First of all, let's take a couple of just general thoughts from the story and apply them. Number one, first thing I want you to see here. Peter's temperament put him in danger. Peter's temperament put him in danger. You know, we often say, oh yeah, boy, old brother so-and-so, he fell into sin. No, he didn't. Nobody falls into sin. You go into sin one baby step at a time. There's not this big hole out there called sin, and you just walk over and fall in it one day unsuspected. No, every single person that we quote-unquote says falls into sin does not do that. They walk daily in the direction until they end up sunk, spiritually speaking, for God. Not lost. Don't misunderstand me. I am not talking about you losing your salvation. You can't do that. I am talking about you losing your testimony, you losing your fellowship, your walk with God. I'm talking about you losing your power. I'm talking about you sinking into sin. Sinking into sin. And we often talk about somebody's fault. No. Nobody falls into sin. You say, well, what's your point, Pastor? Listen, Peter's temperament put him in danger. He began to sink because he was Peter. You will notice here, folks, that the other disciples were all safe and sound in the boat. And you will notice that it never occurred to any of the rest of them to get out of that boat. No, they were men of common sense and reason, and they knew that the best place for them in the midst of a storm was to be in the boat. But Peter was reckless. It was his nature. He was headstrong. He was impetuous, acting on the impulse of the moment and not waiting for reason to lead him, he bailed out of the boat to go to Jesus. Now, in that sense, now listen to me now, in that sense, that was the glory of his character. That was what made Peter so special, and that's why probably he stood out as a leader among the disciples. It made him do what nobody else would do. It gave him the charm of being a daring person, being one who loved the unexpected, one who loved that which fascinates. And those characteristics, folks, are found in most of us. Those characteristics are found in most of us. And in the right hands, in the hands of Christ, those characteristics can be a great blessing and can be mightily used of the Lord to the upbuilding and the uplifting of the church. But if not guarded, they can be used to bring us to the verge of ruin. And thus Peter becomes a classic picture of us. And folks, let me remind you, it was only Peter who would begin to walk on the water. None of the other disciples even dared to think about it. Only Peter would begin to walk on the water, and only Peter would begin to sink. Now, you say, well, why did he sink? All right, I want you to listen to this very carefully. He was led into peril on these stormy waters because of what he forgot. You say, well, I don't get it. All right, let me see if I can explain it to you. You see, in his exuberance and in his excitement, Peter forgot that people can't walk on water. You with me on that? I mean, he just forgot that people can't walk on water. And there may be someone here tonight. Now listen very carefully to the application. There may be somebody here tonight. Now remember, we're talking about and beginning to sink. And there may be somebody here tonight that you think that since you haven't sunk yet and everything seems to be okay, but since you haven't sunk yet, you think that you're okay, you don't have a problem, because really, you're just acting like the Apostle Peter here. But my friend, let me have you stop and consider something. In spite of the obvious, in spite of all you know to be true, you think that when you just casually live the Christian life, and you think that when you just serve God when it's convenient to serve God, and then the rest of the time you're going to do what you want to do. You think that you can just hit and miss with God, that somehow or another you're sinking, and that's what you're doing. You're sinking. You think that your sinking is not going to treat you like it has treated everybody else. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you think, well, I can dabble with sin. I can play with sin, and it's not going to burn me. Folks, I'll guarantee you there are people that were sitting in the pew where you are now sitting 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, who thought the exact same thing, and today, when they stepped out of the boat and started playing, boom, they went down. And you think that sin is going to treat you differently than it has treated others? It's not, my friend. You play with fire, you are going to get burned. You mark it down. You mark it down. You think it's okay to dabble in alcohol? Oh, my, my, you better be careful. You better be careful. You think it's all right to play with drugs? You think it's all right to play with sin? And that somehow you are different from everybody else and you are not going to have it ruin your life? You're going to be able to master it instead of it master you? No, sir, my friend. You have been deceived by the devil. You have been deceived. You think the devil is not going to get your heart? Well, my friend, let me remind you that in all of the history of mankind, none of us has been able to master sin. Sin always masters us. Always. Always. Now, you've heard me say from this pulpit, you are what you have been becoming. That's true, isn't it? You are what you have been becoming. And the devil does not have to knock you down with one blow. He will be more than satisfied to chip away slowly and surely until you allow yourself to be knocked down. He doesn't have to get you all more. You know, folks, for the average person in this room, now you listen to what I'm going to say to you right here. For the average person in this room who knows Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, you know it, you love the Lord. We're not debating any of that whatsoever. But for the average person in this room, the devil does not tempt you to do drugs. He doesn't tempt you to go over here to the liquor store after church and buy you a gallon of whiskey. He does not tempt you to go home and get a gun and load it and go down here and rob the grocery store. He does not tempt you to do that at all. For the average person in this room, the devil does not come at you with those sins. Do you know why? Because he knows that you're not going to fall for that. He knows that no matter how hard he tries, he's not going to get you to raise a bottle of whiskey to your lips. He knows he's not going to do that. So he is content to sit back and plan and scheme and connive and do his evil deeds and do his work, trying to keep you from reading your Bible in the course of a day. Trying to get you to have a bad spirit towards somebody. Trying to get you to just slowly, day in and day out, be nonchalant about your prayer life and to let down your guard so that one of these days, he has it long term, that one of these days down the road, when you're not expecting it after you started sinking, you haven't sunk yet, but he knows you're on the path, and then when you least expect it, he's going to step out from behind a corner somewhere with a great big old ball bat, bang, he's going to let you have it, and down you go. Down you go. Oh, he's slick. He is so slick. Folks, he knows his work, and you are what you have been becoming. And that's why when she started singing that song a while ago, I need, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I was sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, listen to that. When she started the first verse and talked about the storm and about how the winds are blowing and all that, I pointed at verse 24 and I looked over at Larry. I said, look at there, look at there. When the wind was contrary, oh my friend, let me tell you something. The devil, he knows his business, and you got to be careful because you think, wow, I'm such a good Christian. Why, look at me. Why, I'm going on visitation. Why, I'm involved in the bus ministry. Oh, I'm such a good Christian. I teach Sunday school. I'm such a good Christian. Well, let me ask you, did you read your Bible last week? Let me ask you, did you pray for power today? Huh? I mean, did you ask God for strength and power today? You see, we say we melt it down to this. We melt it down to what I do that everybody sees me do. You with me on that? I mean, that's how we gauge spirituality. What I do that everybody sees me do. And folks, God looks at it right here. It's a heart matter. And if you got this right, then the outward's going to be right. Okay? That outward will be right if this is right. You won't have to worry about the outward if this is where it's supposed to be. Beginning to think. And folks, I'm just here tonight to tell you that nobody in this room has arrived. Now, if the Apostle Paul said, I haven't arrived, mark it down, none of us have. All right? And so, what do we need to do? We need to realize that we need the Lord every hour. I got to move on. I told you, Number two, I got more stuff here that I want you to see. It just continues to unfold. Number two, Peter began to sink in familiar waters. Okay, think about it. Now get the picture in your mind. Peter began to sink in familiar waters. Remember, folks, this happened on the Sea of Galilee. That's where he grew up. That was home. He knew every square inch of this lake. He played in the sand as the waves brushed against his feet when he was a little boy. He knew the difference between the winter water and the summer water. His whole life was lived around and on this body of water. The point is, it was there in these familiar scenes amid what was habitual and customary that he began to sink. If you remember, there was another time when Peter began to sink. You remember when the soldiers arrested Jesus and he stood outside the house of Caiaphas, but he was a stranger there. He was a stranger there. He was in unfamiliar territory there. He was not comfortable there among men and women that didn't know him from Adam. And he began to sink there as well. As a matter of fact, he did sink. But here, it was different. Here he was at home. Here, he was among those that knew him and loved him, and here he began to sink. Folks, it's a shame when a young man or a young lady leaves home and goes away from mom and dad and then starts to sink, but how much more sad when at home one begins to sink. And boy, here we have a church that we call home. Here we have a family that we call our church family. We've spent, some of us, all our lives here, but the truth of the matter is, you're on sinking ground right now. Stay in the book, Christian. Stay close to God. You need the Lord every day of your life. You just need to stay close to the Lord. Guard your heart. Guard the door of your heart. Third thing I want you to see, Peter began to sink after loyal discipleship. Oh, for two years he'd been walking with Jesus. I mean, for 2 years, he'd been staying with the Lord. Let me remind you that Peter had served the Lord and had followed the Lord for quite a while before this event happened. And Jesus said to him one day, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And from that moment on, Peter followed. You remember, he walked away from his nets and walked away from his boats and left his family, left it all, and he followed Jesus. So he heard all the sermons. He heard saw all the miracles, heard all the teaching, knew the power that the Lord had, and I have no doubt loved the Lord Jesus very much. And it was after all of this that Peter was on the lake and he began to sink. And I think that this is probably for me the most difficult thing to understand, how that somebody who had been saved for years, someone who has a good understanding of the Scriptures, somebody that has seen the hand of the Lord at work, somebody that has gone out and shared the work of the Lord with somebody else, who has been with and served the Lord for years, can suddenly begin to sink. That is the hardest thing for me to figure out. As it is for you. Do you realize that whole denominations have been established trying to figure this out? That's right. The point is, folks, and you listen to me, it doesn't have to be gross sin that causes the fall. It doesn't have to be gross sin that causes the fall. While it is true that some through the years have been sunk by the means of terrible sin, most Christians are not sunk that way. Sometimes it is the deceitfulness of riches that will sink us. Sometimes it is the growing absorption and influence of the world. You know, over time, you say, well, the world doesn't impact me. Oh, yes, it does. Don't tell me that. I've been at this too long, I know. Sometimes it's the constant subtle influence of a friend who's always tearing you down instead of building you up. You think they're telling you what you need, what you want. They think they're telling you what you want to hear. Be careful. Be careful. Sometimes it's just weariness and well-doing. You know, that's true. Paul said, don't get weary in well-doing. And sometimes it's just weariness and well-doing. Sometimes it is caused by just getting tired of holding the line and guarding the heart. You just get tired. I had a preacher friend of mine, a guy I know, and I called him. I said, brother, I've heard. Is this true? He said, yeah. He said, yeah. So we went contemporary. I said, man, I can't believe that. I said, why? He said, well, I just got tired of fighting the battle. I gave in. That grieves my soul. But yet I see it all the time. I see it all the time. Folks, the point is, keep your heart close to God. Don't begin that process of sinking. Protect your heart. Guard it every single day. Number four, watch this. We're talking about and beginning to sink. Watch this. Number four. Peter began to sink on a permitted path. Huh? Lord, is that you? Sure is, Peter. Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Come on. He had permission to step over the side of that boat. You say, what's the point? Here's the point. Some of you are in the will of God, and you know it. I'm in the will of God and I know it. These guys are in the will of God and they know it. Some of you are teaching the class that God gave you. Some of you are working the bus that God gave you. Some of you are singing in the choir that God led you here so He could use you in that choir. You're on a permitted path. But don't think that that isolates you. Don't think that that secures you and that, well, I'm where God wants me to be. I don't need to guard myself. Oh, yes, you do. Peter did. He was on a permitted path. And he still started to sink. He still started to sink away from God. The Lord had invited him to come. He walked a permitted path. And folks, that shows me something. It shows me that even on the permitted path, I can begin to sink. Now you might argue, well, that was impossible. Wasn't for Peter. Wasn't for Peter. You say, well, if I'm on a permitted path, surely I should be safe. Let me tell you something, dear friend. You will not be safe from sinking until you stand before the Lord Jesus and you hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then you can let down your guard. But as long as you're here, and as long as you're breathing, you've got a sworn enemy that is out to destroy your testimony and ruin you spiritually. You better guard your heart. You better guard your heart. There is not a one of us who is safe from Satan's evil attack. You can teach Sunday school every week and still be in danger of sinking. You can preach the gospel every Sunday and still be in danger. You can serve on the board, but still be in danger of sinking. You can even feel yourself totally safe and still be in danger of sinking. I got a phone call this week from a preacher friend of mine. And he was in tears when I said hello. He was crying when I answered the phone. I said, ma'am, what's the matter? He said, did you hear about so-and-so? I said, no. What happened? He said, they came in and he's under indictment. I said, for what? And he's been stealing money out of the church for 10 years or so. Stealing thousands of dollars out of the church. I don't even know how you do that. How do you do that? I tell you how you do it. You set it up so that it can be done. And he's been stealing thousands of dollars out of the church. That grieves my soul. That breaks my heart. Here's a man of God. Hey, look at me, folks, who has built a great church. Well, I don't understand it. Just like Peter. You can sink on a permitted path. Folks, do you not see how important it is to stay close to God? Stay in the book. Stay close to God. I don't care who you are. You're not insulated from the devil's attack. Number five. Peter began to sink when he began to fear. He began to sink when he began to fear. Look at the verse 30. It says, and when he saw the wind, he got afraid. He got afraid. Notice, he started to sink when he saw the wind. In other words, he took his eyes off Jesus. I've heard preachers preach on this. I think it was Lester Roloff said, old Peter got out of the boat. He started walking across that water. He was looking at Jesus and he was walking across that water and all of a sudden it dawned on him, whoa, I'm walking on water. And he stopped, he turned around and said, hey guys, look at me. Turned around to see if everybody else was looking at him. And that's when he went down. I heard another preacher, I can't remember who it was, I was trying to think all week who it was, but I heard somebody else preaching on this, said, oh, Peter's out there walking on that water, said all of a sudden the wave came up and slapped him across the chin, and he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the waves, down he goes. Doesn't matter what happened, the point is he took his eyes off the Lord. He took his eyes off the Lord. And when he took his eyes off the Lord, that's when he started to fall. Now, folks, did he take his eyes off the Lord for 6 weeks? Did he take his eyes off the Lord for 6 months? He took his eyes off the Lord for 1 second. And when he did, down he went. You better keep your eyes on the Lord, my friend. If God puts up with you taking your eyes off of Him for 6 months, be thankful. But you have no guarantee. You have no guarantee that you won't sink one day after taking your eyes off the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Good night. You don't need to be looking at me. You don't need to be looking at these guys. You don't need to be looking at your husband or need to be looking at your wife. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. What's that verse say over in Philippians? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. You say, well, I'm looking to my husband to supply my needs. That's why you're miserable. It's not his job to supply your needs. It's God's job to supply your needs. So I'm looking to my wife. Boy, she's the one that takes care of me. God's supposed to take care of you. My friends, I don't care who you are. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. How far did he get out of that boat before he started to sink? And have you ever just thought about the story? Did he walk 5 feet? 10 feet? 50 feet? We know it was storming. We know it was night. And so the Lord had to be fairly close to the boat in order for them to spot and understand and see that it was Him. But could the storm have weakened a little bit and then the Lord appeared? Could He have been 25 feet away, 50 feet away? I don't think that matters one whit. The point is, when Peter started to fall, when he started to sink, instantly, are you listening now? Folks, this is how you stay close. This is how you keep that Christian life fresh and vibrant. This is how you keep close, short accounts with God. When he started to sink, instantly he realized what was happening. And instantly he did what all of us are supposed to do every day of our lives. Lord, save me. Now he was not saying, save me as in, I need to get saved. He was saying, rescue me. He was saying, deliver me. Salvage me. The man would start, did he go all the way under? I don't know. I just know this. He couldn't have gone all the way under. He spoke. But he started to sink. And when he did, Lord, right there's the key, folks. Right there's the key. Every day, Lord, help me. Lord, rescue me. Lord, keep old Slewfoot from knocking my head off today. Lord, give me your grace. Lord, give me your power. Keep those close, short accounts with God. And it won't be said of you, and beginning to sink. Folks, I don't want that to happen in my life. Do you? I don't want that to happen in my life. I mean, do you feel like you might be starting to sink tonight? If you do, please remember, the Lord is by your side. That's the marvel, that's the wonder of the story. I don't know if Jesus was 25 feet away and Peter walked 3 steps and then started to sink. I don't know. I don't know if Peter walked 10 feet and boom, the Lord was right there. And when he got there, he then took. It doesn't matter. The point is, when he started to sink, he cried out in the right direction. And the point is that when he cried out, Jesus was there. And He'll be there for you. And He'll be there for me. He's Jesus. And we are His own. We are His children. I tell you, you know, it's the kids were over at the house today. We were having dinner at the house, and Kathy put Braden down. We were still all eating. Kathy put Braden down, and he took off. Well, earlier, before dinner, I had a fan blowing in the living room, and he walked over to that fan. No. He turns around, look. No. Don't you touch that fan. Turns around, looks at you. And then, raise that hand a little bit and look at you. See what kind of reaction he's going to get. And I said, you better not. Now, don't touch that fan. Ooh, hurt you. And pull that hand back like that. So I was sitting there eating. Kathy put him down. And, you know, you get a little smarter when you get a little older, you know. Shame. I know why we have kids when we're young, because they would wear us out. Now we've got some years on, right? But I was sitting there, and she sat him down, and I watched him, and he turned around and looked at me, and I don't know, but in my heart I said, he's going to go in there and touch that fan. So as soon as he went around that corner, I got up and I walked in there, and I stood, and you know what he did? He walked in and stood about halfway in the living room, stood there, and he looked at that fan. And he was sitting there just looking at it. And I thought, he got it. He understood it. And I walked over, so I was still eating, and I was planning on continuing to eat. So I walked over, I flipped it off. And when I flipped it off, he looked at me and he went, like that. And I said, that's right. That's right. And folks, let me tell you something. We need to be as protective with our hearts as we are with our children in danger. I mean, the devil is after you. The devil is after you. And here is one of the men, one of the greatest Christians. God used this man. He was given the keys of the kingdom. But yet the Lord uses him as an example to all of us. And beginning to sink. Guard your heart, Christian, so that that beginning does not happen in your heart. Let's stay close to God. Let's walk with Him. Let's stay in the book. Let's stay in prayer. Let's stay in church. And let's be what God would have us be for His honor and His glory. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we thank You so much for the Bible, and I pray Your blessings upon it tonight. Lord, encourage our hearts and give us a real heartfelt desire, Lord, to want to stay close to You and stay in fellowship. And Lord, to walk in the Word and to live daily in the book, to pray. And Lord, just to seek Your face in all things. Lord, I pray. There's no doubt in a crowd this size, there's somebody here. The devil has been after him. He's laying in wait. Lord, ready to pounce. Father, may tonight they open their eyes and realize the need to just guard their heart. And Lord, maybe Lord, this evening somebody could be prevented from doing something foolish. And Lord, as I look back over the last almost 11 years now, there's so many people that have come through these doors. So many people that it could be said of them, oh yeah, they used to be. Oh Lord, don't let that happen to anyone here tonight. Lord, keep us all close and keep us in Your will. In Jesus' name.